that we could wait for it, wait for it, wait for it.
Zipcar gets it. You live your life 4 months at a time. Commitment freaks you out. Your most expensive asset is your laptop, and even that's portable. Why own a car when you can have a Mini for cruising with friends, a roomy Yaris for moving your affordable Swedish furniture into your dorm room, and a Ford Escape for when you take a break from homework to hit the North Shore slopes?
UBC students get a sweet discount on Zipcar membership, $30 for the year. You can reserve by the hour or day, and gas, insurance, and 150 kilometers per day are always included. Your first step is to put down that slice of pizza and sign up at zipcar.com/UBC. After that, just head to one of the locations on campus to pick up your car, and the rest is up to you.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
In case you haven't figured it out, you've landed in Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM, or maybe you're one of our podcast listeners. However you decide to spend this hour with us, you're listening to us, Ms. Julia Saunders and Ms. Caroline McGillivray, as we talk about sexy things, as usual. And Julia is making faces at me, very sexy ones, as she's gently imagining thrusting things into her mouth.
Because today's show is all about the culture of oral sex.
Yes, the noises that Caroline were trying to make for you, audience, were, I think, I'm not sure, getting some oral sex?
It was giving some oral sex and giving oral sex, the squeak of a chair, the very sexiness.
We do have a lot of squeaky chairs, and I've been listening to the podcasts, and I've been hearing the chairs squeak. So I thought, well, we're going to take use of the chairs tonight.
Well, and I think it's a good thing, even though hopefully with our funding drive that's coming up in the next couple weeks, we can raise some money and buy some new chairs, which would be great.
That would be really great. We need some new chairs quite badly.
We do.
Quite badly. So tonight's show, I've had this research sort of sitting in my hot box for a while, and it's all about the young people of our world that are having more and more oral sex and being very casual about their oral sex and having these rainbow parties, and there's other words for them now, and how it creates a lot of problems. A rainbow party is sort of like an orgy, basically, but an oral sex orgy where the girls deliver oral sex to the boys wearing different colors of lipstick, and then the guys get these rainbow dicks with, like, you know, different colors of lipstick along their cock.
And what did the girls get?
Well, this is what we're going to be talking about tonight in the show. So we're going to be talking about that for the first half of the show. And then we're also going to be talking about why some people are so into oral sex and others are not, and why so many women don't like it and don't let their guys do it, and some women that can't really come any other way. That's the way that they have their orgasms when they're with their partners. So there's a whole gamut in the culture of oral sex that we're going to be talking about. And then, of course, as this show, we like to be dedicated to pleasure. We're going to be talking about how to do it well.
And we're going to be taking calls, so feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation we're going to be having at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So there's a little bit of a teen oral sex scandal.
Yeah, well, there was
research.
There's research that was done in 95 and then in 2002, just comparing giving oral sex, receiving oral sex, males, females, and different cultures. So we have the non-Hispanic white, non-Hispanic black, and Hispanics. So, and then some that have had sexual intercourse, others that have not had sexual intercourse, and sort of how many times they have given or received, or how many percentages of them have given or received oral sex. So the results were very telling, and we're going to be discussing them.
I found it really interesting. So this was with males between 15 to 19, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, young teens.
So according to 1990...
young teens, I guess these days are 13 to 15, and then the older teens are the 16 to the 19. But anyway.
That's true. They're not tweens. No. They're teens.
Yeah.
But in 95, apparently 38.6% claim that they've given oral sex, but they've... and this is with males, of course. And 49.4% claim that they've received oral sex, which is interesting in comparison to 2002, where they say, and it's pretty much the same, 38.4% have given. It's actually gone down a bit, hasn't it? That's kind of scary.
Only by
in comparison.
0.2, honey.
Well, even still, it's a little bit less girls getting their pussies licked.
we don't know.
That's true.
We're going to talk about it.
Definitely. And in terms of guys receiving oral sex, apparently went up to 51.2, according to the teens.
Yeah, and I think that across the board, there's a lot of people that are receive a lot of men. This is a male table. A lot of men that are receiving oral sex, and yet only about half of them are giving it. So it's not looking so good on the receiving side.
No,
well,
not
which
at
I
all.
Think typically would be females. I think this is probably a heterosexual, table, and so we'll and study. So we'll probably discuss it like that. We will be doing oral sex tips later for either whomever loves to suck cock or eat
lick
pussy or lick the female side of the world. No matter what you like, we'll be talking to everyone tonight. But I think, yeah, this study. And so what I found out slightly disturbing was around the Hispanics, how so few of them have given, and actually the blacks, non-Hispanic blacks as well, so few of them have given, and quite a few, almost three times as many had received oral sex. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, the received fraction is exceeding the given by nearly 13% or more, and even more among ethnic groups. And I think, you know, say what you will about raising a generation of teenagers who has more sex than ever before, because really That can be troubling in some ways, but I think it's inevitable in many ways. And it's obviously less troubling once we get higher in this age range, more to the 18, 19s. And it's just fine, and on balance, it's quite pleasant for many teenagers who have safe sex and responsible sex. And it's very bad for many teenagers and adults who don't have sex safely and responsibly. But regardless of all that, there's really no excuse for raising a generation of selfish men. Like, why is this happening? I'm seeing this as a sex educator as well. Like, this is what I see across the board, is that more and more of these men are getting and they're not giving. Now, is this because women aren't wanting it? Is it because women think they're trying to be cool doing it and yet they don't have to be intimate by taking it, by receiving? What's going on here? You know, are the men over-reporting? Women are, we're going to talk all about that.
There's a lot of really interesting things. I think in general, stats like this are pretty... they're pretty dangerous to put faith in, and for obviously other reasons that you just mentioned. But in particular, there's a whole rule of three, where a lot of times women, in terms of truthful reporting, just across the cross-section, it's about comparative rate of giving and receiving across gender and race. And I think it doesn't really matter whether or not teenagers lie, because, like, in terms of cross-sectionally, it's just interesting because lies are symmetrical.
Well, as long as in this, as long as both groups are lying, then there's not going to show a lot of differences there. But I think we have a good reason, mostly cultural reasons, to believe that teenage boys will always overstate their sexual experience, while teenage girls will always understate their sexual experience. And so, and again, for cultural reasons, we don't know, but certain ethnicities might be reporting differently because of boastfulness. They might have more of a boastfulness in their culture, and others are more bashful in answering kind of questions. So maybe that's where the Hispanic skewing is going on, or the Black skewing is going on in this particular table on teen oral sex. So I don't know, but I do think that, that people are generally lie on sex studies because they're embarrassed, or they feel like they haven't done enough, or they feel like they've done too much, or, you know, they just feel like it's just an area of such discomfort that being really honest is just challenging, you know. So sex research is often a little dodgy.
Definitely. It's the rule of three. They make fun of it in American Pie, and I agree with it. A lot of times women will basically take off. Like, if somebody says they've slept with four people, basically the guy's probably slept with one, whereas the girl's probably slept with seven or eight. Because women tend to, you know, basically subtract a little bit if it's female. Subtract if it's the male and add if it's female. And you usually get about what's right.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a cultural reason. I think they're mostly cultural reasons. But there's other reasons to put, not to put too much faith in this research, because statistics like this are kind of dangerous in that there's this slut stud factor that goes on. And these types of surveys are usually statistically off because many teens that have had few sexual experiences, the majority of them have not had many partners, while a small minority have had a large number of partners. That's for men or women. And this explains why the classic "how many heterosexual partners have you had" routinely shows that men have more partners than women. And it's quite simple, because if you think about all of the 2,000 boys in a high school sleeping with some percentage of the same 30 girls, for example, we have 60,000 sexual encounters. But if you take a 10% sample, we find that 100% of the boys have had sex, with many reporting more than five partners, and some reporting more than 10, and some reporting even more than 20. But 98% of those girls will have had zero partners, and 2% of them may have had more than 20. So again, there's, you know, you turn these kind of statistics into a bar chart and it looks very strange, but most people just assume that kids are lying. But really, this can be considered a bit of a fact, because honestly, in schools today, and it still stands, I mean, this is probably the way it was for us in high school as well, Caroline, is, and it still stands today, is that, you know, there'll be a lot more, you know, boys that may have had sexual experiences, but there'll be a few women, a few girls that will have slept with quite a few boys in their high school. And yet there's the other girls who don't do it at all, or, you know, are still kind of hanging on to their virgin status due to cultural constraints generally, or fears, warranted fears. And so it's usually, it's again, those, that, that group of boys and that group of girls that have having the most sex, you know? And often the boys that are having sex with all the girls that do have sex are maybe branching out and having the odd experience with you know, the virgins are the ones that only do it once, one guy or one lover in all of high school kind of thing, and they're kind of spreading their seed far and wide, whereas the women are kind of keeping it close to the heart. So, and these kind of cultural habits perpetuate into our lives over time, and it's still happening, unfortunately. But then I think once women start to get a little bit more comfortable about their things, then they start to relaxing, and then there's just sort of an even keel going on, I'm sure.
Definitely. I think in some ways we still live in the Victorian era where mm-hmm. women feel guilty about having sex sometimes. Mm-hmm. And guys, again, it's the whole slut stud thing that we were just talking about, mm-hmm. but it's also the attitudes about oral sex. There's a lot of girls especially where puberty is such a weird thing where you're not sure if you're if you're a kid, if you're an adult, and you kind of go back and forth from wanting to play with your Barbies one day mm-hmm. and wanting exactly. to basically go out with boys and do whatever you want where your parents aren't giving you permission, you mm-hmm. know.
It is a very strange place to be bridging, you know. You're right. It's like there's a lot of child that still wants to be expressed and then they want so desperately to grow up and to be grown up and do grown-up things. And, yeah, it's definitely a bridge that
and sometimes they haven't really grown into their body yet mm-hmm. in that sense. So mm-hmm. I really think that sometimes they're squeamish about receiving oral sex because there's part of them that's still a little kid-like where they haven't fully owned their body yet. There's also that fact that you're supposed to wait till you get married. And even though, yes, we live in a pretty modern
day. Are you talking
about
women?
Children, well, okay. youth between the ages mm-hmm. of about 12 to about 19 years old, mm-hmm. Where they feel bad. And there's that stigma and self-esteem as well, especially because they don't know whether they're a kid anymore or they're an adult. And there's that whole thing where they really want to be accepted. They want to be cool. So whether it's, you know, smoking a cigarette or smoking joints or whatever.
Or smoking a dick.
Yes, sucking it hard.
But they do yes. want to be cool and grown up, yeah. And I think that the attitudes that you're talking about oral sex can be related to number one. Many girls, many women are, like you're saying, squeamish about receiving oral sex. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you think that is? I mean, it's like this may be a large part of that selfishness gap that we're talking about where the guys are getting a lot more oral sex than they're actually giving is more about that women are refusing to accept the oral sex that's offered by their partners. And that, you know, if you think about it, very few men are going to behave the same. I mean, and again, this is cultural, this is expectations, this is being okay with the body, like you were saying, you know, before we came on the show, Sue Johansson saying, you know, boys are so much more comfortable with playing with themselves and pleasuring themselves and receiving pleasure on their bodies, like you were saying, Caroline.
And for girls, I think it's difficult, and even some of our women listeners that write into us or our friends even within our own social circles, there's a lot of women who still have difficulty in their 30s telling a man what to do, how to go down there. So you can imagine what somebody's like when they're like, you know, 14 years old or 16 years old and somebody's going down on them and they know they don't like it, but they don't exactly know why it feels ticklish or, oh, that hurts, mm-hmm. or what it is. They just know it doesn't feel right, so they push the guy away. So he starts mm-hmm. thinking, okay, maybe I'm not very good at it. So I think we train them to stop because they don't think the girl's into
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
Whereas girls, we want to please them because we really want to be liked because we're at that stage where mm-hmm. we're so insecure about ourselves and we want to. And I think that carries on right through the early 20s and sometimes right to late 20s. And 30s are about when you start owning your sexual power. I really believe that. And of course, that depends on the person, but
it
takes time.
And also not, you know, losing some of the onus to being liked, I think, is a big part of growing up as well. And, you know, sometimes that takes us into our 40s and 50s. I know lots of people who are still absolutely focused on other people's thoughts of them. And it's so important to them what other people think of them. And they run their lives based on what other people think. So, yeah, it's a lifetime of growing up, and hopefully it happens for you as soon as possible so you don't have to struggle through these things and you can maybe enjoy oral sex more or ask for what you want. But I would think that I'd like to see some stats on the number of women who are 15 to 19 who have been offered oral sex by their partner but have turned it down. I think this is probably a significant amount. I would bet there's a significant amount of women.
Perhaps we can find someone at UBC who's doing their PhD on that.
And perhaps I should do my PhD on that.
I was just thinking that.
Might be a fun little game to play. But I think, you know, there's no question that there's some selfish boys out there.
Definitely. But you know,
I've heard of them. But at the same time, I would note that girls tend to be more sensitive, like you're saying, and insecure about their bodies. But they may be embarrassed or insecure. But, you know, I think it's challenging, like you're saying, to get it right. For boys to feel like they get it right, for women to feel like they're getting it right, like, you know, how to ask for it. But I also think, you know, like Betty Dodson would tell them to get their compact mirrors out and get over their body image issues and letting their lovers see them down there or smell them or taste them or whatever, and to get over yourself because it's natural and it's healthy.
And I think guys in general, they don't even like to stop when they're driving and they're lost to go and ask for directions. So if they can't find the clitoris, they're not going to stop and ask a lot of the times until they get a little older and they're a little bit more comfortable with themselves.
Generally speaking, let's say.
Exactly, generally speaking. And, you know, going full circle, a lot of the girls don't know what that answer is. They don't know how to tell them, this is my clit, this is what feels good, mm-hmm. or I like having fingers inside me or a tongue inside me, those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
You know, and of course, oral sex, I mean, there's still the mental and emotional and social consequences of shared sexual encounters. So, again, as a sex educator, I propose the idea that no sex is presented as a good alternative to having any kind of sex, oral or intercourse, because oral and other kinds of sex are still sex. Anal sex, oral sex, they're all sex, and they still carry with them emotional and mental and social consequences. So really, you want to be thinking hard about whether or not you want to have sex with anyone, whether, you know, doesn't matter how old you are. It's really an important discussion, you know, thing to do, not to be taken lightly in this life, and especially not with the stuff that you can get out there nowadays from kissing and from oral sex and all of that. So, but I think just as a final point for what we're talking about here, we have to remember that the difference between male and female behavior and sexuality and in oral sex receiving especially is that for some girls, giving oral sex is a way to avoid intercourse, if that's what they're trying to do, whereas receiving oral sex might increase her chance of having intercourse or that the situation might get out of control. What do you think about that?
I think definitely there's the art of almost, which in that is basically by going almost all the way, you're satisfying him. He's not going to bother you for it anymore. Right. So I think a lot of girls do that. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of the girls we grew up with definitely did that. Mm-hmm. And
I think it can save people sometimes from being raped, to be honest with you. And not that that's okay that you think you feel like you have to be obligated. But if you're in a situation and there's a lot of that kind of power play going on and you feel out of control and you can't seem to get away or something, you know, the oral sex or the hand job may just save you from doing something, you know, more than what you want as far as that goes. So having intercourse and feeling really horrible about it or being raped or sexually assaulted in some ways. Not to say that that's ever okay that, you know, that these things go on, but I just think that a lot of people choose to go the oral sex or hand sex, you know, way to avoid having intercourse. But I do agree when a woman receives oral sex, I think that kind of makes the arousal go up tenfold and the sexual experience becomes so much more intimate and so much more you know, highly aroused state, and then, you know, closer to each other. And then, you know, you're both very, very aroused. And sometimes our rational minds, well, almost every time, our rational minds shut off and we can't say no anymore, even though we want to. Mm-hmm. But we're just very aroused. So is our partner. And then, you know, sometimes we'll go down the roads that we later regret.
I agree with that. I also think sometimes it's a bit of a control issue where young girls in particular are exploring their new sexual power. It's kind of like the whole Lolita theory where it's just like where they are just exploring, they like to flirt, but they're not necessarily ready to go there yet. And so a lot of times having oral sex, it makes them feel dirty and not so great because they're not quite ready for it. But it can be a really interesting empowerment thing as well. And what I think is quite interesting about that is I think some women, when they're quite young, don't necessarily want to receive oral sex. And the reason why is because, I don't know, Julia, have you ever watched people when they have an orgasm? Usually their faces scrunch up. They don't look very attractive. And young girls are so paranoid about how they look, how they smell, you know, all those things. It's like, is my stomach flat? Do my boobs look great? You know, all those questions, and that's all going through the mind. And sometimes that still keeps going while we're in our 30s and 40s and 50s. But it starts at an early age where we're, you know, we're not a kid anymore. We're not an adult. It's that, those, you know, those building blocks to who we're going to be.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and I do think it's important to remember. I mean, we'll be talking about this in the second half of the show, all about, you know, how to be good at head and get better at it. But just remembering that, you know, we are different creatures, men and women. We live in different cultural worlds, you know, mm-hmm. as much as, you know, even if you've brought up in the same ethnicity, the same religion, whatever it might be, we still, as a female or male, live in different worlds. So to remember that we have different consequences, different decision-making, different values, different things that motivate us to do different things. So oral sex may not always be a good answer. And or it might be the perfect answer for that moment. It depends, right?
There are some benefits to oral sex, obviously. It feels really good once you know what your body likes and what your partner likes. Communication is really key. But one of the big things is, you can't get pregnant from oral sex. Which, as a teenage girl, is a really big deal, and for a teenage boy, too, in terms of the pregnancy. There's a lower risk of HIV transfer, which is important as well, even though it's not completely erased. We talked about that a little bit earlier. As well as that, I think sometimes if women can just relax, they can come from this because pregnancy isn't an issue. So I think as they get more comfortable with their partner, but I think that has to do with the relationship as opposed to mm-hmm. necessarily mm-hmm. that. And Julia and I were talking before the show in regards to anal sex, which some youth do indulge in. And it's interesting where it's because they believe that pregnancy isn't a possibility, which, Julia, do you want to speak on that?
Well, anal sex, you can't get pregnant from anal sex. And I know all my classes, the kids always go, no way. I thought we had just safe. Well, you know, sperm, ejaculate, only needs to be on the outside of your vulva to swim on up. Swimming on up. It doesn't take very much. It doesn't take very much. And if there's enough lubricant on the outside of your vulva, which often case there is with sexual behavior because you're lubricating and you're maybe dripping down your thighs a little bit, and or you just have lube in the area. And so, of course, the sperm can quite easily swim up in there and get into your vagina and then up onto where the eggs are a little waiting for those sperm.
That's right, from that book, Where Did I Come From?
That's
Do you remember
right.
how they had top hats on them when we were kids?
So, yes. So anal sex, basically, the ejaculate does come out of the anus and can drip down or up or wherever. And sperm are quite active little things. They can actually get around quite well. They've got lots of sugar and different things in their ejaculate, in the fluid, that helps them handle quite a bit of things. So, you know, anus hairs and poo particulate and other such things, lubricant and other, you know, they can get past all of it.
That's a scary thought, those little fighters.
They're little fighters, that's right. They're trying to make the seed grow.
Well, on that note,
we're going to be taking seeds.
growing seeds.
Yes.
We're going to take a short break, and those little sperm fighters and how to fight to be the best at oral sex. We're going to be talking about all those tips to make you an absolutely fantastic lover.
How to train your partner to go down. And ladies, I think mostly we need to do this, but the men, we need to do this too. So we've got some really hot tips coming up next for all the cocksuckers out there and for all those lovers of women. Make sure you know how to eat outright. And we're going to talk about that. You're listening to Juice Box on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. So keep that dial locked. We welcome your calls, especially at this time. So call in at 604-822-2487. That's UBC CITR. And we'll be right back.
Use your tongue. Yeah. You say you want these to be even and you want these to be fair, but you're afraid to get your teeth cut in my pubic hair. If you're lying there expecting me to suck your dick, you're gonna have to give me more than just a token lick. Risk.
You're giving me that single cunnilingus kiss. It's on your face that I'm gonna sit. You can wiggle, you can jiggle your tongue at my clit. Don't worry about making me have an orgasm. Just take your time and do it with enthusiasm. I can tell it's making you scared just thinking of it. But you better learn to love it. Now you suck. Suck it hard. Go down, baby. You suck. Lick it hard and move your tongue around. Now you suck. Suck it hard. Go down, baby. You suck. Lick it hard and move your tongue around. When you hear safe sex, stick it under your breath. We gotta take cover. We're flirting with death. I'm your latex bubble wrap like a gift. Got my microwave photograph heating up my clit. Dinner song, get busy with my booty. Got a couple of flavors, sweet licorice and fruity. I know you said luscious pussy with a cover. I'm aching too, we can't taste each other. There's no slacking off with an unprotected stroke. This ain't no joke. Sisters! Sisters, you got the power. Use it!
You brought a condom, right?
Huh?
I'm unprotected.
Hey, ain't you on a pill?
Oh, that was great and everything, but, you know, I think it's your turn to go down on me.
Oh, I'm tired. I'm tired.
What do you mean you're tired?
Come on.
Come on, baby.
Oh,
come on,
no,
baby.
That's
come
awful.
On, baby.
Oh, oh, that
man,
tastes
you
terrible.
Asshole, you shit.
Just...
I know you think it's real drag to suck my cup when I'm on the rag. Quit making up stories, Jack. Give me a break. Cause I really don't believe that you got a headache. You tell me it's going to suck my yeast infection. How do you think I feel when I gag in your direction? Ugh. You're wasting your time with lame excuses and lies. Get your face between my thighs. Now you suck. Suck it hard. Go down, baby. You suck. Lick it hard and move your tongue around. Now you suck. Suck it hard. Go down, baby. You suck. Lick it hard and move your tongue around. Now you suck.
Download this. Every Wednesday through Saturday until November 8th, the Vancouver Theatre Sports League present Improv. The internet goes offline and on stage for 90 minutes of hilarity when improv comedians from Vancouver Theatre Sports League take on Facebook, wikis, blogs and iTunes. Improv is on at the New Review stage on Granville Island every Wednesday through Saturday until November 8th. Doors are 7:30 on Wednesdays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Looking for great student rates? Don't miss 2-for-1 Wednesdays, or get a group of 10 or more together and save as much as 35% over Ticketmaster rates. For more information, visit www.vtsl.com.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box.
That song was so dirty.
Thank you. It used to be one of my favorites in the 90s. It was by Consolidated, and it's called You Suck. And I thought it was very appropriate. And actually had a lot of sex ed in that song.
There was a lot of sex ed in that song. I loved it. And yeah, she talked about not getting pregnant, the lower risk of HIV, using dental dams, all that stuff. I liked it.
Thank you.
And there was some There was some, like, issues with the cultural stuff we were talking about in the first half of the show where the men are like, I don't want to do it. And they end up getting twice the head we get. What's up with that?
I think it depends on the guy, because there's enough ads on Craigslist that people keep sending us in terms of that, about guys who just want to go down on chicks.
Well, I've met some recently who really don't. So,
do tell.
We'll get at that in a minute. All right, so let's discuss the fact, okay, so we talked about the art of almost. We talked about the lower risk of HIV transfer. These are good reasons to have oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying that perhaps you think women can come easily because pregnancy isn't an issue. I want you to tell the listeners a bit more about that because I'm still not getting it.
All right. Well, I think if a woman can relax, because I think in the back of the mind, there's always that what if I got pregnant factor. And I think a lot of women are scared sometimes where that's always in the back of the mind, even if you're on the pill, even if you're using condoms, you've got two forms of birth control. It's always there where there's that possibility. I mean, unless the guy's got his tubes tied, it's a possibility.
So you're thinking that a woman can enjoy oral sex and relax, which is really important to having an orgasm. You have to be able to be relaxed, ladies. I think we probably know this. Very important. So, yeah, I guess if you're able to relax, then it's going to help you come more easily. I think it's the directed pressure and the very specific kind of focus on the pleasure that allows a woman to have an orgasm orally.
I think it also has to do with communication, where you're able to feel comfortable enough with your partner, where you're able to tell them what you like, where both partners, one's the partner that's giving the oral sex, is not afraid to ask, like, what do you like? But not to the point, is that good? Is that good? Was that okay? Did you come? Not those type of questions, but, and the person who's receiving saying things, I really like it when you touch me here.
Mm-hmm.
That felt really good. I love that. Or is something they read about, maybe in an erotica piece or something like that. Or, you know, hey, you know, Samantha was telling us that this was super hot, you know, that kind of thing. I kind of want to try it. Do you want to try this? And really encouraging them. I think it's really important because I think oral sex can be really fabulous. And we've got some oral sex tips for men and for lovers of women. So just make sure that you eat out right.
That's right. So
it should be something that's celebrated and enjoyed fully.
Mm-hmm. Oral sex can be fabulous. So if you're going to go down, don't just do it. Do it right. If you're going to go down a woman, you know what? And honestly, you can't just wave your tongue in the direction of her private parts and expect her to convulse in some mind-blowing orgasm and then fall to her knees thanking you. You don't, this isn't going to happen. And you actually don't. And also on the other side, you don't have to be a juice box gourmet to chow the pussy delightfully. You know, there's skill involved, that's for sure, and high skills are really helpful, but those take time to create and to master. But really being tuned in to a woman's mood and her sensations and what's going on for her is much more important than all the strength that your tongue can muster or the little fancy tips that you think you're going to try. Honestly, being tuned in is key.
Definitely. And on that note, take your time. Ease in. First things first. Don't just yank off her underwear and just go at it. Just don't rush it. Like, just don't go straight for the clit and just start sucking. It's a really sensitive area. So just give the rest of the body some attention. Like, maybe kiss her breasts, kiss her neck, kiss her inner thighs. Just really gentle and make a really, really slow prelude to the big eat out vent.
And then when you get down there, don't hurry. I mean, start out slowly and build up the speed as you go. Start slow pressure, slowly and with soft pressure. Whatever you're doing, start slow and soft first. She'll communicate to you that she's enjoying it. Keep that up for a little bit before you go any harder or before you try something new.
You can also use parts of the body, like, say, fingers or things like that, where you can suck on the tip of a finger, and it's just like, this is what I really want to do to you in certain areas.
Oh, to help to communicate what it is?
Yes, okay. And then running your tongue along there really gently and making eye contact, because it's pretty hot.
And if you don't like going down on a woman for whatever reasons, you're going to have to learn to get over it, for one. And some of the ways to do that is to communicate with her and to sort of just, you know, pay attention to what's going on for her. having her be clean. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's good to have the oral hygiene.
I think that goes both ways.
It goes both ways. I mean, exactly. There's dick cheese. That's very gross.
And there's schmegma.
Schmegma. We all get schmegma. So, you know, clean it out, boys and girls.
And if you really don't like the way it tastes, you can introduce a dental dam so you can still go down on her and you don't have to worry about the taste and just say that you're doing it for safe sex.
Yes, that's a very good point. And you know what? Oral sex is very intimate. So making contact other than that, like, don't just lie there and lick her. I mean, stroke her thighs, hold her around the legs while you're connecting with her, mouth to pussy. So, you know, and also don't hide in her silky depths. I mean, look at her. Make eye contact at least occasionally to see how she's doing and so that she can see how you're doing and that you're actually enjoying yourself as well. So these are important parts of the whole experience.
And really pay attention. Each woman has her own personal preferences when it comes to oral pleasure.
Does she ever? Very much so. Being touched or licked or anything or the combination, all of it. Every woman is so particularly different. So are men, but I'd say that women are much more into their personal preferences.
It's perhaps because there's more nerve endings in the clitoris than there are on the tip of the cock.
It's a smaller area as well.
That's true. So it's more intense.
Well, it's just more particular, like, you know, and then there's like, you know, 2 millimeters to the left. No, 2 millimeters. No, 1 millimeter. Like, it's kind of like, you know, this little area, right? So there's very particular things. And then, of course, the heightened sensitivity, like you're saying, you know, the clit has all of the cock nerve endings into one little area there. Can, you know, get very irritating very fast or kind of painful very fast, whatever it is you're doing. So again, the soft, the slow, trying different things, but really tapping in to what it is that her body language and her reactions are telling you. So often, and women, this is up to you as well. You've got to communicate clearly. Like, if he's doing something you don't like, stop making noise.
Don't fake.
So, you know, some of them love the clit flicking. Some of them enjoy the lapping and the insertion of the tongue into your vagina. You know, lots of women like dual action, fingers and tongue working together. Some women find that's too intense or just to be done at the very end towards orgasm time. But again, play around, see what gets a rise out of her. And if you're trying a new strategy, I think always be gentle. But if she doesn't seem to like what you're doing or trying, you know, don't go there at that point, but maybe another time, another day, or maybe it was too much of a highly aroused thing that you were doing and she, you know, maybe want to try that when she's more aroused and ready for it.
And don't take it personally.
And don't take it personally.
And don't give up. Just really tell her that you want to please her, but don't guilt trip her, because that's sometimes, I think that's one of the reasons why women fake, because the fact they feel bad because they can't come. Sometimes they don't know yet how to come. So it's really important. So try things. Try toys. Try erotica. Watch porn, like, and have sexy chat and just really talk about things that might feel really good and explore your options. Have a lot of fun, but above all, really enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I think of all the women I know, they always tell me.
A duty suck or a duty lick is not fun. Both parties really need to be into it. Like, you can't act like you're doing a favor or you're really grossed out, or they can tell that you're holding your breath when you're down there.
I mean, I think it's like, you know, around enjoying yourself, I think above all else, it's pretty critical that, you know, most of the women I know that have told me that what makes their lover really amazing at oral sex is that you can tell they're really enjoying it.
Yes.
And so that really opens up doors for people, and it's really important. So, you know what, if you're disgusted by the act, like a certain someone I know, you know, if that's how you feel, you actually don't really deserve to be close to female genitalia, because it really is an amazing part of the body, and appreciate it for all that it does and what it can do for you, Jason. So make sure that the recipient of your tongue loving is enjoying herself. She and sometimes she needs to be in the mood for that. Because, like, I think unlike guys over the top, women don't always have oral sex first on their agenda. So, you know, don't force a descent. If she doesn't want you to go down there, don't push it. She'll let you know if she's comfortable and wanting to do it.
So again, it comes back to communication. So making her comfortable, and that's a really good way, by starting with that, making sure you're on the same page. Because the more comfortable both of you are, the more likely that both of you are able to get off and get off good. And we know as women, because I mean, if Julie, you're female like I am, and not that there's any doubt about that. But you know, if you're female out there, listeners, and you're on the receiving end of oral sex, well, it's a really good thing, and you should try and sit back and relax and enjoy it. Don't feel bad. Don't feel that you have to have sex to be. You know, just take your time. Really enjoy the oral. Enjoy the moment.
And I
think, don't fake.
Yes. Yes. I think anyone who's being a lover for a woman, make sure that she's comfortable and relaxed. I think Caroline and I had a discussion about this before the show, but, you know, sometimes she's happy with not relaxing and not, you know, being in a reclining position. But I think that most women like to lie on their backs and relax. I mean, don't make her sit up or hold herself in some uncomfortable position.
I think it depends on the woman, but again, it comes back to communication, because there's sometimes you may be out in public and you're not wearing underwear under a skirt, and it's just like, okay, you know, push your lover against a wall, and it's just like, go up underneath her skirt while she's leaning up
for
against
sure.
the wall.
I just mean,
but I understand
in general,
what you mean.
I think women tend to like to be able to relax their bodies.
Definitely.
To be able to get the most pleasure out of the situation. So.
I just meant just not always reclining. There's just different ways to come. In different positions, that's all.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to clarify.
Well, if you're trying to make someone come maybe for the first time, I would recommend you try it. You do it while they can totally recline and relax and not have to hold their body in some contorted position.
True.
Because unless you're one of those women who comes really, really easily, you're not going to get her off if that's your aim. So, yes, and women, if you are the recipient, it's your job that you communicate. You have to actually, you know... some guys are like, scream and pull my hair. That's why I'm doing it. But if you're not a screamer, don't worry. I mean, the point is, let your lovers know that you're enjoying it. And if you're not enjoying it, let them know that too. And hopefully let them know why. Personal hygiene is obviously important. Trim, oral sex, people have different preferences. I certainly know lots of people who like a lot of hair. But I think the majority of people would rather you trim and they don't want to have to come away with a mouthful of overgrown pubes. So,
or get it caught between their teeth.
Cleaning is good. You know, once a day, probably a gentle daily wash with soap, probably a good idea of some kind of soap. Anyway, it doesn't have to be a harsh one, but some people are into the natural stuff.
And if you want, you can make the showering part of your ritual, where you're kissing and touching each other in the shower before mm-hmm. you actually get to that. So mm-hmm. then everybody's safe and feeling comfortable. And on the safety note, performing oral sex on a woman isn't generally considered one of the more riskier of sexual behaviors. But anytime there's fluid exchange, you've got to be careful. Really careful.
Yeah. So we talked about dental dams. Mm-hmm. You can also cut open a condom, and just this helps reduce your risk of infection, which is possible when you have oral sex. This is part of the issue with the increased gonorrhea and chlamydia in the mouth, is due to so much oral sex going on. These little teenagers, like we're talking earlier in the show, so many of them are having sex, oral sex, and people are getting STIs in the mouth. So there are some risks. There's also risk for HIV, although it's not that high.
And check with herpes as well, just making mm-hmm. sure there's no cold sores on the mouth, no cold sores on mm-hmm. the genital area as well.
Right. So for the cocksuckers out there, you know, I always say cocksucking is a lot easier to do than cunnilingus. Fellatio is a little easier. What do you think about that?
I'm a girl, so I've never gone down another woman, so I can't just answer that honestly and fairly.
Okay, but when you say I'm a girl and so I haven't, that's not
point
really
taken.
So you could just
I'm
say
a heterosexual female.
You're a heterosexual
there
female.
We go.
Okay. Okay, well, I can tell you myself that it's a lot easier to, you know, scientists call it fellatio. What?
I was just going to say it takes time, I think, because when I was a teenager, I really didn't know what I was doing either. Like, you just try and shove the whole thing in your mouth because that's what you think you're going to do. One of our girlfriends, actually, that we grew up with, actually told me the first time she did it, it hit the back of her throat and she belched. So I don't know in terms of whether it's easier or not. It might be a little easier because guys are more comfortable with their bodies in general. Most guys have indulged in masturbation by that age and know how to come. So that helps, where some women haven't figured that out yet at teenage years.
So anyway, I'd say overall, if you are going to be going down on a man, We got this from askstudent.com. We thought it was a pretty cute little website. Says the top important tips, so they're done quite cutely. One of them was don't try so hard. So he says, last year my friend Bridget asked why she couldn't fellate her boyfriend to orgasm. My response is, in a perfect world of Playboy and porno flicks, hummers lead to big, healthy orgasms. You know the scene. Some tramp uses a porno-like motion to deep-throat her partner, only to be greeted by the requisite money shot a mere seconds later. Whatever. I told Bridget to ignore the pot of pearls at the end of the rain below. Instead, I asked her to think of the hummer as the perfect pregame warm-up. Think about it. What better way to prepare for the plunge than a good hand wash? Do runners break records without stretching? Do writers hand in first drafts? No. Like a good appetizer, I found that a little sucky-sucky before the supper always makes for a pleasant dining experience. So don't try so hard, ladies and lovers of the cock. You know, having the orgasm at the end is not always the absolute most important part.
And that goes for guys in terms of going down on girls as well. Sometimes it is a prelude to the actual sex act in terms of intercourse.
Right.
Make sure you give yourself a hand. Guys spend a lot of time refining their quote-unquote handy skills before grabbing their first gobbler. And while the hand is neither moist nor equipped with a tongue, self-help is sometimes really satisfying. And everybody, we fully encourage, know your body. So really get to know that. Enjoy your masturbation times.
But using basically the hand and the mouth together is what this point's about. And just, you know, sealing the hand, the finger with your mouth, your lip, so that it feels like that one continuous motion is probably the key to oral sex on men. I'd say that that's pretty much what most of them like and what it takes to have them have an orgasm. What do you think, Caroline? I mean,
I think it depends on the guy.
I haven't met a single one that doesn't like the hand and mouth technique together.
Most of them do, but it depends on the guy.
I mean, how do you get your entire cock or most of it? I mean, you can't gobble the whole thing up, Miss Piggy. Right? Is this what your technique, honey? Is this your special technique you teach in your classes?
You'll have to take the class and find out.
Okay. Well, but when's the next one?
I'll have to plan it at some point. But on that note, one of the keys I think is really important is befriend the frenulum. Which, Julie, I don't know if you want to talk about that because you're the sex educator in terms of the frenulum and what that is exactly, that little flap and what it does exactly.
Why don't you talk about it since it's your tip?
In regards to that, it's one of the very, very sensitive parts of a guy's cock. Mm-hmm. And if you press on that, sometimes it drives him absolutely crazy. And it's quite exciting. And
like another research topic for you there, for your PhD there, Caroline.
In regards to that, just like the clitoris, the tip of the cock can be really sensitive sometimes. So don't go straight at it. Really build into it. Again, just playing with the entire body, like running your hands up and down his thighs, you know, just running your tongue. Just
ball sack. Let's not forget about the nuts.
Taking it into the mouth. Don't bite unless he's into that, which he'll tell you if he's into it. But most guys are not really into the whole biting thing. And in regards to the hand, there's a lot of different hand techniques. So find out what he likes. A lot of times it's good to ask him to masturbate for you so you see what he likes.
Exactly.
Whether or not he does the A-OK where he's got his thumb and his forefinger together, or whether he uses a full fist like wrapped around. It's really important. It makes a huge difference. And each guy is different. Each guy has a different rhythm, different strokes. So it's nice to find those things out before you hurt your jaw.
Yes, before you work too hard. I think we might skip over the spit or swallow technique because, the whole debate about this, it's personal and really, I mean, if you're getting a blowjob, just stop complaining. Anyway, and I think, you know, the other tip is around making noise. And we were talking about for women, oral sex on women, they really enjoy you enjoying yourself. So if you're making you were talking about singing songs into the vulva, honey.
The vibration's pretty hot.
The vibration of the vulva, yes. Talking dirty while you're going down. And I was thinking, well, it'd be hard to do. But apparently the hummer comes from, you know, the humming vibrations that you might be making while you've got the penis in your mouth.
You can also play with a vibrator as well on a guy, just the very base of his ball sack, actually. That's a really
well,
nice
not
place.
On the very end of the...
Very
but,
gently.
I mean, at the base of the cock.
Just, no, under the balls, actually, really, really gently, where you'd have a cock ring where you can actually put that around the balls sometimes.
Wow, I couldn't imagine that men would like their balls vibrated, but okay, maybe I'll try that.
Some guys do because they can imagine it's another female they're actually licking at the balls while you're touching. So, and a lot of guys have that whole threesome fantasy. So it's
many of them
thing.
Do. That's true. I love this this one about don't get all Hollywood. You've seen Kevin Smith's Clerks, right? You remember the scene where America was introduced to snowballing, right? Well, forget that scene. And I'm thinking, what is snowballing? And Caroline had to educate me. So go ahead and educate our listeners for those who haven't seen this
Snowballs
movie.
Snowballs is...
Clerks.
In Clerks. Okay. I don't know the reference in terms of the movie, but the term snowballing in general is when somebody ejaculates in your mouth and then you kiss your way up their body with keeping the cum in your mouth. And then you kiss them and you
and
share
shove
the
it
cum.
Into, you share, shove it in?
Yes.
Okay. Well, so apparently it says forget that scene because...
So they get to swallow.
No two men are alike, though. Different folks take different strokes, not to mention tongue patterns. So if you're looking for to deliver perfect oral pleasure, you have to ask him to guide you through. Maybe they'll like it if you spit their cum in their mouth. Who knows? Open up the lines of communication. So maybe a good idea before you do that. or, you know, turn the sexual experience into a learning one and give you an excuse to make some suggestions yourself, men. So really... I don't know if you need to sort of say the suggestions beforehand, but if a woman asks or if your lover asks, you know, what do you like, then offer some information.
I think it's the same thing with women and men where it's just like really ask in terms of what do you like. Some guys, for example, when they're at the point of ejaculation, really like a little bit of anal play where you're playing with them, with their ass, with their fingers.
Yes.
Other guys just
yes.
hate it where it makes them feel very homophobic and they freak out. So it really depends on the guy where they're not comfortable or if they're in a gay relationship where they happen to be a top, not a bottom, and they really don't want to have their ass penetrated, even if it's just by fingers. So ask, talk, you know, and if you're confused or anything, run your tongue along there, as long as it's clean. Just be really, really
a spicy
gentle.
Spicy meatball.
Just be
ass
really,
is always so peppery. I don't know what it is about the ass. Anyway.
Just being really, really gentle. You can also get flavored lubricants. You can go to the sex shop with your partner and play with things, getting
some
that.
Chocolate ass might be good.
Chocolate ass. I don't know. Chocolate and ass might be too interesting. Maybe strawberry flavored ass. Does this count as oral sex?
Yes, well, it's certainly risky if you're going to be doing that. So use a dam or mm-hmm. some kind of finger condom for your tongue. Can you imagine taking a finger condom on your tongue? I've seen it happen.
Actually, they've actually got tongue vibrators now that you can get.
And tongue condoms.
Yes.
Right. But, you mean, you're not saving your lips or anything from that, though. You're just taking your tongue out and using only your tongue. But still, I don't know if that's really... You want to put the dam over. I don't think just having a tongue condom is going to help. Unless you've got a cut on your tongue or something, or a little new piercing you want to protect or something. That's probably a good idea.
Really? Communication,
okay.
Communication.
Back
again,
to communication, yes.
It always comes back to that because it's just like, really, just like you'd expect your partner to go and... You know, watch your what you're reacting to. Same thing. Listen, watch, listen to the sharp inhales of breath, whether they're into it, whether they're not.
Right.
Guys on that end, even if you're a screamer or whatever, please do not grab the back of a girl's head and shove it and face fuck her unless you've asked her in advance.
That she likes it, and some
yes.
of them might like it. Now,
and some may, but...
Now, what was the movie we saw on the weekend?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about that soon.
Okay, another day. The yep. guy who got the blowjobs was just...
Oh, yeah, okay, tell him.
His noises were so annoying, this guy. God.
It was called, what was it, the
it
sex
was
addiction
disgusting.
Movie?
It was a movie on sex addiction. We're gonna compare Choke to I Am a Sex Addict movie.
And the man looks very creepy in it. It's
so
disturbing.
Watch both of them and tell us what you think. Anyway, we're going to do a show on that soon. Sex addiction seems to be the hottest topic out there these days, besides oral sex and how much teens are having oral sex and... You know, basically, enjoy yourself if you're old enough to handle the emotional, mental, and social risks
Definitely.
That are involved. But whether or not you are ready, there are ways to prevent getting sexually transmitted infections through oral sex, which does happen by using condoms and latex, dental tams. And there's lots of flavored ones out there. Go and buy some at the specialty stores and protect yourself.
And using non-lubricated condoms is a really good thing as well, according to the education unit, the STI education unit of San Francisco Department of Public Health.
And you know those people in San Fran, they're little dirty fuckers all the time. Okay.
And they say to avoid having cum in the mouth or leaving it in somebody else's. And if you get it in your mouth, spit it out and avoid sucking it, especially if you've got bleeding gums, sores, abscessed teeth, or if you've just gone to the dentist. This could make it easier for HIV or STIs to enter the body.
And
wait till they heal.
That's why you also want to not brush or floss your teeth right before or after having oral sex, because you can, you know, transfer an STI more easily. Also, we talked about it earlier, but make sure to avoid oral sex or kissing, of course, if there's any kinds of sores or blisters on the lips or mouth, any kind of herpes sores, little cold sores, canker sores inside the mouth, etc. And avoid deep throating if you really want to protect yourself, because it may irritate the lining of the throat and you could get an STI to enter the body more easily. Anyway, I know, Caroline, you had some comments on the deep throating, but
we are running out of time.
So we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We'll be back next week. And if you have any recommendations for a show topic that Caroline and I would love to cover, please email us at juiceboxradio.com. You can get both of us, Julia or Caroline, at juiceboxradio.com. Coming up next, Hans von Kloss, Misery Hour. Marion, he is a damn sexy man to be miserable with. So tune in. Look at his ass. He's bent over. Okay, right now he's bending
look at his
over.
Shoes.
Looking. Oh, I am. Are you having a shoegasm?
I always have shoegasms whenever I look at his feet.
Yes. Well, you know, it's always all about him and his fashion and not his music when he comes in. Talk about objectification. But you know, it's the Juice Box Girls, and that's what we like to do best. So
objectify.
Yes, that's what we're doing.
Even though we don't like being objectified.
No, that's right. Well, sometimes
it's a double.
To ask me first. All right, so tune into Juice Box Radio every Wednesday.
It's all about communication.
Tune into Juice Box Radio every Wednesday night
at 10 o'clock.
You just experienced Juice Box Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juice Box every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.